ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாபியாம் நமஹ. ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாதோ பிரம்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசா. ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹ. சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத். சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத. சாப்டர் 1 செக்ஷன் 3. ஜிவ்வாததிகரணம் ஜிவ்வாத்யாயதனம் ஸ்வசப்தாத். முக்தஹ உபஸ்ருப்ய வபதேசாத் ந அனுமானம் அதச்சப்தாத். பிராணபிருச்ச பேதவ்யபதேசாத் பிரகரணாத் சித்தியதனாப்யாஞ்ச. பூமாதிகரணம் பூமா சம்ப்ரசாதாத் அத்யுபதேசாத். தர்மோபபத்தேஷ்ச அக்ஷராதிகரணம் அக்ஷரம்பராந்தர்த்ருதேஹ சாச்ச பிரசாசனாத். அன்யபாவவ்யாவ்ருத்தேஷ்ச ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதி கர்ம விபதேசாத் சஹாம். தஹராதிகரணம் தஹர உத்தரேப்யஹ கதிசப்தாப்யாம் ததாஹி த்ருஷ்டம் லிங்கஞ்ச. த்ருதேஷ்ச மஹிம்னஹ அஸ்ய அஸ்மின் உபலப்தேஹ பிரசித்தேஷ்ச இதர பராமர்ஷாத் ஸ இதி சேத் நாஸம்பவதி. உத்தராச்சேத் ஆவிர்பூதஸ்வரூபஸ்து அந்யார்த்தஸ்ச பராமர்ஷஹ அல்பஶ்ருதேஹே இதி சேத் ததுக்தம். அனுக்ருத்யதிகரணம் அனுக்ருதேஸ்தஸ்ய ச. திஸ் இஸ் தி 22nd சூத்ரா ஆஃப் தி 3rd பாதா ஆஃப் 1st சாப்டர் தி 85th ரன்னிங் நம்பர் ஆஃப் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. We were doing the general analysis of this sutra in the last class. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya analyzes the well-known Mundaka Mantra, second Mundaka, second section, 10th mantra, namely, Natatra Suryo Bhati Na Chandra Tarakam Nema Vidyuto Bhanti Kutoya Magnihi Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam தஸ்ய பாசா சர்வமிதம் விபாதி. தி சன் டஸ் நாட் ஷைன் தேர், நார் டஸ் த மூன், நார் டஸ் த ஸ்டார்ஸ், நார் டஸ் த லைட்னிங், அண்ட் மச் லெஸ் த ஃபயர் இட் செல்ஃப். வென் ஹீ ஷைன்ஸ், எவ்ரி திங் ஷைன்ஸ் ஆஃப்டர் ஹிம் பை ஹிஸ் லைட். ஆல் தீஸ் திங்ஸ் ஷைன். வி சா திஸ் கர்சரி மீனிங் இன் தி லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ். அண்ட் ஹியர் தி தத் சப்தம் is nothing but Paramatma. That's what we were telling. And the pronoun that occurs in the first, second, and the third line of the mantra. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam. And then tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. So in all these mantras, the pronoun that occurs, first, second, third lines, they refer to Paramatma only. Because everything else has got posterior shining, while the mantra talks of something that has the independent shining or self-shining, Atma or Brahma. And because of posterior shining of everything else, the light principle, original light principle is Atma. And here Atma is shown as the self-shining principle. Actually, in the 5th chapter of 4th section, 2nd mantra of Chandogya, we already saw Manomayaha Pranashariro Bharupaha Satya Sankalpaha. We saw this mantra earlier. And here Bharupaha means self-luminous. And why this quotation was chosen? Here, the self-revealing nature is shown. Prior shining means self-shining. Here, the word Anubhati Sarvam of the above Mundaka mantra is used to show the prior shining or self-shining nature of Atma. And the second reason is because everything has got dependent shining. The previous one is everything has got posterior shining, time-wise nature. Here everything shines because of borrowed shining. But Atma lends shining to others because that Shabda, Tat, that Shabda refers to the lender of shining, and the lender of shining is Paramatma. And how should you understand this empirical, in the empirical experience now? So what do you mean by dependent and independent shining? We have discussed all those earlier, but just only refresh. For example, when I say this computer is, I should know first that I am. I should know first that I am. Then only I can say this computer is. Without telling that I am, the thisness of this computer is not there. The Advaita Makaranta, that is, there was a Lakshmidhara Kavi. We have actually quoted some mantra from this Advaita Makaranta earlier also. This Lakshmidhara Kavi, he says, Nahi banadrute sattvam, narthe bhanam chito chitaha, chit sambheto pinadhyas, The world cannot be reckoned to exist without its experiences. The experiences of the inert world, in turn, they are not possible without consciousness. So the association of the inert with consciousness, again, cannot be there, but for the superposition. Adhyasa, I, the consciousness, I am one without the second. That's what this mantra says in Advaita Makaranta. So to talk of isness of something, this is, that is, that isness, one should be conscious of that. For that you require consciousness, and that consciousness is nothing but Atma. So without Atma, you cannot be conscious of anything. Without Atma's existence, you cannot talk about existence of anything else. Therefore also, everything has got dependent shining. That is the second reason. And since everything has got dependent shining, then one must talk about only something that has got in the independent shining, and which has independent shining is Atma, which is referred to in the Mundaka Mantra as Tat, the pronoun. Now let us go for the word analysis. Here there are three words in this particular sutra. Anukritehe, tasya, cha. Anukritehe, tasya, and cha, three words. And we add two more words, namely tat shabdartaha and brahman. These are the two words. Tat shabdartaha, one compound word, and brahman. Therefore the sutra will read as what? Tat shabdartaha, brahma, anukritehe, tasya, cha. That will be the sutra when it is rearranged. And the first word is what? Tat shabdartaha. That meaning of the word that. That is what this means. Tat shabdartaha. Shabdartaha means meaning of the word tat. Occurring in where? Mundaka Upanishad. And it occurs how many times? Three times in this particular mantra that we, Natatra Surya Bhadisandratyaraham, that mantra that we read. And they do not shine with respect to that. Everything shines after that, and everything shines because of that. That's what that mantra says. And the next one in the sutra is Brahman or Paramatma. So tat shabdartaha, then Brahman or Paramatma, because of Anukratehe. Anukratehe means Anubhanam, or which is mentioned in the third line of the Mundaka Upanishad. That is Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam. The posterior shining. Posterior means chronological order. Anukritehe, because of the posterior shining of sarvasya, everything else. So the Mundaka Upanishad must talk about the self-shining of the Atma only. Then comes tasya cha. Here the word tasya is used as an indicator of the entire fourth line of the mantra. Tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. As an indicator of that entire fourth line, this tasya, that word is used. So Vyasacharya uses the word tasya because of the fourth line of this mantra. That means Vyasacharya assumes the meaning of the fourth line. That is because of the dependent shining of everything else. Sarva anubhanat, sarva bhasyatvat cha. Because of dependent shining of everything else, Upanishad must talk of independent shining, which is nothing but the self-shining Atma only. This is the essence of this mantra. So everything else is shining because of one principle, the Atma. So the word cha is only a conjunction of the two reasons. And the final meaning of the sutra will be what? The meaning of the word tat occurring in the Mundaka Upanishad mantra is Brahman only because of the posterior shining of everything else. The posterior and later prior, all those shining and all those words we know. With this, the first sutra is over. Now the Purvapakshi says, as usual, I don't agree. He has got a habit. For everything he will say, I don't agree. There are a lot of people. When they start something itself, they will say, Adilla. And it's not that. So they really mean it or not, that's how they start. So Purvapakshi is like that. And he says that the word tat does not refer to Atma or Brahman. And he says it refers to some other powerful light principle. And he gives various reasons also. First, he says, look at the first line of the mantra. Natatra suryaha bhati. That's what natatra suryaha bhati. You interpret because of that sun does not shine. It is your interpretation. Here the Purvapakshi says, I interpret that in the presence of that, the sun does not shine. That's what he says. That means in our experience, we have seen when there are, let us say, for example, two light principles. The powerful light overpowers the feeble light. This is our experience. It does not shine, means it is not evident. The overpowering and the overpowered light, they both are there. The stars are there in the sky in the night. They are there during day also. They are luminous in day, but because of the powerful light of Surya, the stars do not shine. They are not seen. The same is the case with the moon also. Suppose you keep a candlelight in the day. You cannot see candlelight at all. In the presence of the powerful light, sunlight, the feeble light is not seen. And the mantra says, in the presence of some X light, even the sun does not shine, then the Upanishad must talk about a very, very powerful light than sun itself. So the light must be much, much more powerful than sunlight also, in the presence of which the sun, the moon, the stars, none of them shine. That means the Upanishad talks about some powerful light. Therefore, the Purvapaksha says, the pronoun refers not to Paramatma or Brahman, but to some kind of effulgent principle more brilliant than the sun itself. It is Tejas Tattvam only, and it does not refer to consciousness principle at all, Paramatma at all. So all examples given in the mantra are all Tejas Tattvam. They are all Bhautikam only. They refer to worldly perceptible lights only, sun, moon, fire, all of them. The lightning, all of them. So in presence of the brighter light, the lighter light does not shine. And if you extend the same principle, the overpowering light should be Bhautikam only, elemental only, and the tatra, the pronoun, is some powerful light only, some powerful light principle only. It is not Paramatma or anything. And the second reason the Purvapakshi gives also, it is based on the word anubhati, anubhati sarvam, that anubhati. Anubhati, the shine behind or shines after. Anubhati means bhati, anubhati, the one that shines after. And anu means the meaning of limitation. Limitation of any action is indicated by the verb. So the Purvapakshi says the prefix indicates anukaranam, and bhati is shining, and anubhati means shining limitation, the limitation in shining. Then he introduces a law also. Who? Purvapakshi. He introduces a law. Imitation is possible only when two things have got similar features. So bhati is shining, and anubhati means shining imitation. And then he introduces the law. Imitation is possible only when two things have got similar features. Here, Surya, Chandra, stars, all of them, they all do anubhanam, and an unknown principle must be there that is doing bhanam. And that principle also should belong to the similar category like Surya, Chandra and stars. This is his second argument of Purvapaksha. And because of these two arguments, tatra, tam and tasya, all these pronouns occurring in that mantra should refer to some bhautikam tejas only, some physical light only. So tat shabdaha na paramatma, it is not paramatma at all, it is some other shining principle. Similar to Surya, Chandra and all, much more powerful. Therefore, tat does not refer to paramatma. And to refute him, Shankaracharya gives four arguments, of which two of them are refutations of Purvapakshi, and the third and the fourth arguments are additional arguments he gives. Actually, he gives many number of arguments. Now, the first argument of Purvapakshi was what? Tatra, that pronoun, should be taken as Sati Saptami. Seventh case, Sati Saptami in its presence. In its presence. That means Sati Saptami here means in its presence, sun, moon, etc. They are all overpowered. Therefore, he talks about some brilliant principle, light principle, which shines much more than sun, moon, etc. So in the presence of. And Shankaracharya, he does not accept this. Then he says, if such a bhautikam chakshusham tejaha is there, if you can see such a powerful light, it must be available for the perception of the eye according to your own arguments. That's what he tells Purvapakshi. As it is not available to see, there is no such light at all. It is not chakshuhu pramana gocharam. It is not chakshuhu pramana gocharam. Therefore, there is no superior light to sunlight, at least from the earth, when you see. Therefore, the answer to the first question is what? Sati Saptami in the presence of is not acceptable. Pramana abhavat. Therefore, if Sati Saptami is not available, then what is the case you should take? Vishaya Saptami. So instead of in the presence of, you use it as with respect to. Vishaya Saptami. With respect to. That alone should be taken. That means with respect to that principle, sun, moon, etc. do not shine. Instead of saying in the presence of, you say with respect to that principle, sun, moon, etc. do not shine. That means with respect to that principle, sun, moon, etc. cannot illumine. That means they are aprameyam. They are aprameyam. Kasmat aprameyatvam? Aprameya. Swaprakasham, swaprakashatvatim, aprameyatvam uchyate. To show the aprameyatvam, the Upanishad says, sun does not illumine, etc. In fact, such sun, etc. are only upalakshana for all the pramanas. Pratyaksha pramana, anumana pramana, for all of them, this is only a upalakshanam. So this is the sun. Therefore, Vishaya Saptami is the answer instead of Sati Saptami. This is the answer to the first argument of the Purvapaksha. And the second argument of the Purvapaksha is, Anukaranam is possible only between two things of similar nature. Samana Swabhava Yoho Eva Anukaranam. They should have the same Swabhava, same quality. Example the Purvapaksha gave is what? Ramaha Gachati. Lakshmanaha anugachati. Both are only goers. Rama goes, Lakshmana also goes. He follows. That is why they are able to imitate. For the Shankaracharya, he talks. Who says there is such a rule at all? Shankaracharya asks this question. If you say there is a rule for that anukaranam rule, where is such a rule? There is no rule that imitation is possible only between two things of the same category. For which he gives another example. Suppose there is an iron ball and it has no burning capacity. Iron ball has no burning capacity itself. Suppose the iron ball comes in contact with fire. Then it becomes, the fire ball is capable of burning the iron ball. Here there is anukaranam between the fire and iron ball, and they don't have any similar nature at all. While one has got the capacity to burn, the other doesn't have the nature to burn. Iron doesn't have the nature to burn, but fireball has. So in fact, when you take the example of shining, they need not be of similar nature at all. In fact, Shankaracharya argues they should be of dissimilar nature only. Suppose there are two candles, both emit light. So samana swabhavaha is there, both emit light, both are same light. And can you say that one is bhati and another is anubhati? One light does not depend upon the other light. Both are burning. And anubhanam cannot be possible between the two lights. It can be possible between one luminous principle and another non-luminous principle. So samana swabhava anukaranam rule does not apply here. Therefore, this rule is not acceptable and that principle is not bhautikam jyotihi. Should not be like an inner jyoti like Surya or Chandra. It should be Paramatma. And the third argument is a Vedantic argument that Acharya gives. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. Based on the word sarvam, which is highlighted here in this argument by Acharya. If some powerful principle is bhautikam jyoti, as claimed by the Purvapakshi, which is more brilliant, if that is correct, then any light, sunlight, moonlight, firelight, they can help only in the illumination of what? Forms and colors, and not illumine smell, touch, taste, hearing. Whereas the word sarvam in the mantra says, according to our interpretation, is that principle of consciousness which illumines everything, which includes colors, taste, smell, everything, knowledge, and even your ignorance, he says, the Purvapakshi. The word bhautikam jyoti has got restricted meaning, and the word sarvam cannot include taste, smell, etc. But in our interpretation, that brilliant light lights everything without restricting the lighting anything. So it means it lights without any exception. And in the science of interpretation, the meaning of a word should not be restricted as far as possible. So the word sarva, that means everything. While the Purvapakshi restricts the meaning, we don't restrict the meaning. And the next is the context of the mantra also one should see. This is another argument. The Upanishad says Brahman, and it talks about Brahman only in this context and not anything else about astronomy or anything else. The truth of the universe is the question. What is the context here? Truth of the universe. So Upanishad here predominantly defines Brahman only, because in Mundaka Upanishad, what is the question? Kasmin bhagavaha vijnate sarvamitam vijnatam bhavati. That was the question. What is that by knowing which everything else is known? That is the question. And in the second Mundaka, second section, fifth mantra, the Upanishad is predominantly defining Brahman only. Yasmin dyavuhu prithivi chantariksham otam manahasaha pranaicha sarvaihi tamevaikam janatam atmana manya vacho vimunchatam amritasyesha setuhu. This mantra also we have read earlier. So this mantra is placed after what? The 2.2.3 and 2.2.4 of Mundaka mantra. There was an archery imagery. If you remember the Mundaka Upanishad discussions, there was an archery imagery. Danurhu, danuhum, grihitva, grihitvam, upanishadam, mahastram, sharam, kyupasa, nishitam, sandayita. Ayamya tadbhava gatena chetasam, lakshyam tadevaksharam, somya vidhi. That was the mantra. Pranavo danuhum, charo hyatma, brahmata lakshyam uchyate, apramatena vedhavyam, sharavate, tanmayo bhavet. After that archery imagery, the Upanishad starts defining Brahman. We do not worry about the imagery of archery and all. Upanishad talks about Brahman after that, namely, Brahman is that in which the whole creation is based. Araiva rathanabo samhata yatra nadyaha. Sayosha yeshontascharate bahuda jayamanaha. Omityevam dhyayata atmanam. Important word, dhyayata atmanam. Swastivaham paraya tamasa parastat. That Brahman is there very much in your heart as atma. Dhyayata atmanam as atma. And then in the ninth mantra also, That is the previous to the mantra under discussion now. That is, we are discussing the 10th mantra. The 9th mantra also, this sutra, Hiranmaye Parekoshe Virajam Brahma Nishkalam Tachabram Jyotisham Jyotihi Tad Yadhatma Vidho Viduhu. In Parekoshe Vijnanamaya Koshaha, Parekoshe, here we went through the discussion, Parekoshe Vijnanamaya Kosha. Annamaya Pranamaya Mano Vijnanamaya Koshaha Nishkalam Virajam Brahma Vartate. The teacher Shaunaka, in the Mundaka context, the teacher Shaunaka has introduced Brahman in the previous mantra. And having introduced Brahman, it was given the title also. What is the title? Jyotisham Jyotihi, the light of all lights, which is borrowed from by Lord Krishna also in the Bhagavad Gita. Jyotisham Apita Jyotihi, Tamasappara Muchyate. So exactly like Shrotra Se, Shrotra Manaso Manaha Pranasya Pranaha. All that we have seen. So Atma is Jyotisham Jyotihi. And when the teacher says the light of all lights, naturally the student would like to know what is that light of all lights. And for that possible question, the teacher gives the answer in the current mantra, 10th mantra. Natatra Suryo Bhati Na Chandra Tarakam Nema Vidyuto Bhanti Kutoyam Agnihi Tameva Bhantam Anubhati Sarvam Tasya Bhasam Sarvamidam Vibhati. That is the context. Therefore, this shloka is a commentary upon the title Jyotisham Jyotihi, the light of all lights. For that title, this mantra is the commentary given to Brahman. This title is given to Brahman, Jyotisham Jyotihi, in the previous mantra. Whereas you, Purvapakshi, Acharya says Purvapakshi, you, Purvapakshi, are arguing without reading the mantra. Therefore, this mantra should be talking about Jyotisham Jyotihi, which is Brahman, which is Abhautikam Tejaha. It is the light principle which is not Bhautikam, like Surya and Chandra. It is not empirical light, but is nothing but self-effulgent consciousness. Brahman alone has nothing to do with perception. It is consciousness principle. So this argument is called Prakaranat. This argument is called Prakaranat, contextual based explanation. Only this explanation fits with the context of the Upanishad, whereas yours, Purvapakshi's, does not fit at all. And there are so many more arguments also. For example, somebody finds there is one more star in the galaxy. So what? There are 33 crores of stars. What Purusharta it gives me by knowing there is one more star also? Because it is apurushartha, without any purushartha. There is one more argument also we will see. Shastra Pramana what is the purpose of Shastra Pramana? It is supposed to reveal only those things which are not supposed to be available for Pratyakshadi and Pratyaksha Anumana Pramanas. Whatever is not available for Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana alone are revealed by Shastra Pramana. So the very definition of Veda itself is what? Pratyakshenanu mityava yastupayo na buddhyate yenam vidanti vedena tasmad vedasya vedata. So pratyakshenanu mityava yastupayo na buddhyate yenam vidanti vedena tasmad vedasya vedata. That instrument of knowledge which reveals things which are not available for human instruments of knowledge and cognition, like Pratyaksha Pramana, Anumana Pramana, and all that. So if there is a Bhautikam Tejaha, worldly light, physical light, there is no need for the Upanishad to reveal that, because it does not deserve to come under Vedic topic at all. We all call this technically what? Apurvata Abhavat. I mentioned earlier, Apurvata is one of the qualities. There is no apurvata for that light. There's nothing apurva about it. The purushartatva abhavatam, that is the 5th argument. And apurvata abhavatam is the 6th argument. There are many more arguments also, but this much is adequate. So because of these arguments, the word tatra in Mundakopanishad 2.2.10 is Brahman only and not any bhautikam light. With this, the first sutra is over. Now let us go to the second sutra. Apicha smaryate. This is the 23rd sutra of the third pada, first chapter, 86th running sutra, Brahma Sutra. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya answers a possible doubt on the part of Purvapakshi. And what is the doubt? He says that the Vishaya Saptami interpretation of the previous sutra, Sati Saptami and Vishaya Saptami interpretation, we saw that. So the Vishaya Saptami interpretation of the previous sutra is a very uncomfortable interpretation, he says. I am not convinced. This is called, you know, Klishta Kalpana in Shastric language. It's called Klishta Kalpana. Klishta, very kashtam. To twist the words too much, to squeeze and derive a meaning. So you mutilating the words and all, try to arrive at some meaning, Purvapakshi says to Siddhanti. So what is the interpretation Vishaya Saptami? Tatra means with respect to. Sati Saptami was in the presence of. Tatra here Vishaya Saptami was with respect to. That's how we interpret them. So with respect to Atma, sun does not shine. Shine itself, that itself is not clear at all to hear this statement. And you, Siddhanti, interprets it by saying, therefore, the sun does not illumine the Atma. Here, how can you give the meaning of illumine to the word shine? Because the Upanishad uses the word shine, whereas you are trying to interpret it as illumine. How can you use this meaning for the word shining? How can you give this meaning of illumination to the word shine? This is the argument put forward by Purvapakshi. So shine, now again, we have to give a little detail. Shine is an intransitive verb and illumine is a transitive verb. So intransitive verb is a verb for which there is an object. For example, when you say he eats, somebody eats, he eats. He eats means what? There is a question following that, he eats what? This is intransitive verb. There should be an answer for that. He eats means he eats what? For that you should have an answer. He eats masala dosa, whatever it is. There should be an answer. Therefore, the Upanishad uses an intransitive verb, bhati, and you twist and take the meaning as bhasayati. It uses the word bhati only, but you are taking the word as bhasayati as a causal verb. Bhati is converted to bhasayati in your interpretation. Who says? Purvapakshi says to Siddhanti. So primary intransitive verb is converted to causal transitive verb by you. How can you do this? For that, the answer is given in this sutra. Let us first do a general analysis. So whenever you are uncomfortable with respect to Veda Vakyam, you look for any Smriti Vakyam which deals with the same topic. These are all part of Mimamsa Shastra. When you do analyze, if there is something not clear in the Veda Vakyam, you look for Smriti Vakyams, which will deal with the same topic. That is important. Because Smriti is supposed to be a commentary on Shruti. Shruti rivartam smriti rancha gacchate smriti hi anva gacchate. Shruti rivartam smriti ranva gacchate. Kalidasa said this. There he says, gives this as an example. Kalidasa gives this as an example that Sita followed Rama like Smriti follows Shruti. Shruti is Veda, Smriti is all these Puranas, Itihasas and all. So as the Purana, Itihasas and all, as they follow Shruti, Sita followed Rama. What a great example. You know, all these Kalidasas, this Kavyas and all, Ramas and all, they are all for common people. And what example he uses? Smriti and Shruti. So look at the audience. So if he could give this Smriti follow Shruti so closely, think of the audience then. Therefore, wherever there is a doubt in Shruti, we take the example of Smriti. Here, even though Siddhanti also has same issue of intransitive to transitive verb conversion, we still follow that because we have Smriti support from where? Bhagavad Gita, Shloka 15.6. 15th chapter. Na tadbhasayate suryaha na shashanko na pavakaha yadgatva ananivartante paddhama paramam mama. Sun does not illumine that, or the moon or the fire. That is my supreme abode, Lord says, my supreme abode from which those people who reach, they don't return at all. Paddhama paramam mama. The word bhasayate is used and it is commentary on the word bhati. That is how Acharya explains. So bhasayate means illumines and we have not violated any rule. This is our general analysis. So we have got a smriti pramanam to support our shruti's interpretation. Now we will go for word analysis. It has got three words. Api, cha, smaryate. Api, cha, smaryate. So the first two words, the apicha, they should be taken together, which means apicha means moreover. That means what? Moreover means what? Already two reasons are given. Which are the two reasons? Anukratehe, one, and tasya cha. In the previous sutra, we already have seen that, these two reasons. Moreover, now one more is added. That's why apicha. And smaryate. Smaryate means there is a smriti support also. Smaryate means coming from smriti. Smaryate means literally it is remembered. But in the Shastra, it means smriti pramanam is also there. In support of our interpretation, there is a smriti pramanam also. And Vyasacharya only says smriti support is there, but he has not given the details. Thank God Shankaracharya is there to give two slokas from Bhagavad Gita in support of this. First one is Natad Bhasayate Suryaha. Sun does not illumine. That is the 15.6th that mantra. And the second, the shlokam, and then yada aditya gatam tejaha jagat basayate kilam yas chandramasi yas chagnau tat tejo vidyamamakam. The jyotisham jyoti is given there, my tejas, Brahman's tejas. That's what Krishna says, which is chaitanyam. So chaitanya jyoti, jyotisham jyoti, which alone is called aditya gatam tejaha. Yada aditya gatam tejaha is that, which is Chandragatam and reveals Chaitanyam Jyoti. There is a Veda Vakyam also, which Shankaracharya also quotes there. He says, not here, but elsewhere. Yena Surya Stapati Tejasa Yiddhaha. It's a very apt quotation Shankaracharya gives elsewhere, not here. Yena Tejasa Yiddhaha Suryaha Tapati. Because of its light alone, the sun shines. Then we complete the sutra by adding smriti pramanat tat shabdartaham paramatma. So we add these words and with this, this adhikaranam is also over. So let us give the quickly a summary of the whole adhikaranam as we normally do. This is the 5-step language of summary of conclusion. Now, first is vishayaha. Vishayaha means subject matter. The subject matter of the adhikaranam is what? Tad shabdaha occurring in 2.2.10 of Mundaka Upanishad, second Mundaka, second section, 10th mantra. The pronoun occurring in Mundaka Upanishad 2.2.10. And the samshaya, the doubt is whether it refers to elemental, bhautikam light or spiritual light, bhautikam tejaha or paramatmava. And the purupakshi is, it refers to only elemental light only because of the reference to other elemental lights mentioned elsewhere. And Siddhanta in the same sloka, Suryaha, Chandraha and lightning, all that. And the Siddhanta says it is the spiritual light of Paramatma only, Jyotisham Jyotihi, because of the various reasons given above. All those reasons that we saw. So Tat Shabda refers to Brahman only. By the word Tat, we mean only Brahman. That means Brahman. And the fifth factor is Sangatihi. Sangatihi means this adhikaranam is placed in the right place. Propriety of position of the topic is correct. It is in a proper position one. As I told all the time, it's a technical discussion. We will only take as much that it is placed in the right position. Then we will go to the next adhikarana. Seventh topic, Pramita Adhikarana. This adhikaranam has got two slokas, 24 and 25. So first shloka, first sutra is Shabda Deva Pramitaha. Shabdadeva Pramitaha. The 24th Sutra, 3rd Pada, 1st chapter, 87th running Brahma Sutra. So first let us do the general analysis, general introduction to the Adhikarana. This Adhikaranam, as I told, has got two sutras. This is called Pramita Adhikaranam because of the word Pramita occurring in the first sutra. Normally, the first word of the sutra only is used to name the Adhikarana. But here, the second word is used. It's the Shabdadeva Pramitaha. Pramitaha is only second word, but the Adhikaranam is named after that word. But here, the second word is taken. So in this Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya analyzes two mantras occurring in Kathopanishad. Mantram, second chapter, first section, 12th mantra, Angushta Matra Purusho Madhye Atmani Tishtati Ishano Bhuta Bhavyasya Natato Vijugupsate Etad Vaitate. So the Purusha, Angushta Matra Purushaha, the Purusha, the size of the thumb, Angushta Matram. He resides where? Madhye Atmanim Tishtati. He resides in the middle of the body. Atmani, Madhye Atmani Tishtati, the middle of the body. So here Atma means body. So who is he? The Lord, the past, present and future. Past and future. Ishano Bhuta Bhavyasya. In future. And Na Tato Vijugupsate. And henceforward, after knowing this, there is no more fear. This is indeed that. Etad vaitate. That is the emphasis on that meaning. This is what the mantra says in the Upanishad. So this is followed by the next mantra of the same Upanishad. The previous one, the 12th mantra, of second chapter, first section, 12th mantra. The 13th mantra, this says, Angushta Matra Purushaham Jyotiriva Adhumakaha. Ishano Bhuta Bhavyasya Sa Evadya Saushvaha Etad Vaitate. So that person, that Purushaha, Angushta Matra Purushaha, of the size of thumb, is like flame without smoke. Jyotihi Iva Adhumakaha. Without any smoke. Jyotihi Iva, light like flame. So the Lord, who is the Lord of the past and future? Ishano Bhuta Bhavyasya. He alone is even today and will be very tomorrow also. He will be all the time. So here, Jivatma, Paramatma, Aikyam is revealed in this mantra. First line talks of Jivatma and the second line talks of Paramatma, Aikyam. What is the definition of Jivatma here? Angushta Matra Purushaha, the one who dwells in the whole body, within the body. Pure Sheti Iti Purushaha. Puru means body, Shaha means dweller, and Purushaha means body dweller. You can call body dweller. And this Jivatma, which is known as Purushaha, is Angushta Matra. The Jivatma is of the size of the thumb. Angushta means thumb. Matra means size. So Angushta means thumb. So Madhya Atmani Tishtati, this Jivatma resides in the middle of the body. In the middle of the body means it is heart. Here Atma means Shariram. We should understand Atma is Shariram, not Satchidanandatma. And Sharira Madhya means Hridaye, in the heart. So Jivatma dwells in the heart of the body, which is of the size of the thumb. And what is the real nature of this Jivatma? Ishanaha Bhuta Bhavyasya. This Jivatma, really speaking, is the Lord of creation, Ishanaha, of the past, present and future creation. And we supply present also. The mantra only says Bhuta and Bhavyasya, but we are supplying present also. That is, in short, the whole creation. Prapanchasya Ishanaha. Jagat Patihi, Jagat Ishwaraha. We can call by any name. Then in the 12th mantra, it is said, Natato Vijugupsate. Whoever knows this Jivatma, Paramatma Ikyam, he never feels insecurity. The one who knows this Jivatma, Paramatma Ikyam, he never has any insecurity. Na vijugupsate. He does not seek security at all from the external world. So jugupsa means gopayutum iccha. Jugupsa. Jugupsa means gopayutum iccha. Desire for security. He does not desire for security at all. Because he discovers security where? In himself. Why he doesn't desire security? Because he discovers the security in himself. He discovers that. In the 13th mantra, the Upanishad says, Saha eva adya saha usvaha. This Atma alone was in the past also, is in the present also, and will be in the future also. That means this Atma is eternal. Trikale api. This is the essence of the mantra. So this Jivatma, residing in the heart, of the size of Angushta, the thumb, is none other than that Paramatma, which is eternal, and knowing that, one will be free from the sense of insecurity. And in these two mantras, especially the 13th mantra, the word Angushta Matra Purusham is the word for discussion. So this is the context. This Angushta Matra Purusha is only discussed here, this debated. It is to be found whether Angushta Matra Purusha is limited Jivatma or limitless Paramatma. And the Purvapakshi, as usual, he assumes it refers to limited Jivatma only. While Siddhanta says it refers to Paramatma only. This is going to be the Adhikarana. Now we will enter into the general analysis of the first sutra. In the first sutra, Vyasacharya points out Angushta Matra Purusha does not refer to limited Jivatma, but to the limitless Paramatma alone. What is the reason? Vyasacharya says, the very second line of the mantra gives the reason. Ishano Bhuta Bhavyasya. The Upanishad itself declares that the Angushta Matra Purushaha does not refer to limited Jivatma, but refers to the limitless Paramatma alone by using the expression Ishanaha Bhuta Bhavyasya. So if the Upanishad were to refer to the limited Jivatma, the Upanishad cannot say that he is the Lord of the universe. The limited Jivatma is not even the Lord of his own house or family. Even the spouse and children do not listen. So Adishaya Sochati Mukhyamanaha. At least, do the servants listen to him? No. Okay. Are we the lords of our own body? Not at all. We don't know when we will get a cold or cough. When the hand will not cooperate, leg will not cooperate, knee will not cooperate. We don't know. How can then be Ishano Bodha Bhavyasya? How can he be the lord of the creation? Therefore, the very fact that the Upanishad equates the Angushta Matra Purushaha with Ishwaraha means the Paramatma only. That indicates that the Angushta Matra refers to the limitless Paramatma only. This is the general analysis of the first sutra. Now let us go to the word analysis. Here in this sutra, there are three words. Shabdat, Yeva, and Pramitaha. Shabdat, Yeva, and Pramitaha. And we have to supply one more word, Paramatma. And the sutra should be rearranged and read. How we have to now rearrange and read? Pramitaha Paramatma. So Pramitaha is Pakshaha and Paramatma is Sadhyam, is the conclusion. And the Hetu is Shabdat Eva. So the sutra says, Pramitaha Paramatma Shabdat Eva. Now we'll analyze each word. First word is Pramitaha. Pramitaha means the measured one, the limited one. The sized one, the one of particular size. Prama means to quantify, to measure. Pramitaha means the quantified, the measured one. So this word Pramitaha refers to Angushta Matra Purushaha. Because this Purusha is the measured one of the size of the thumb. That is the measurement. Size of the thumb is the measure. Angushta Matra Tvena Pramitaha. That which is quantified as the size of the thumb. And this occurs in the Kathopanishad mantra, second chapter, fourth section, 13th mantra, that we have to know the context also, because in Brahma Sutra, we should exactly know what mantra, in which context a particular sutra is given. For example, here itself, Madhye Atmani is given. Here Atmani means in the middle of the body. Here Atma is not Sachidananda Atma. Therefore, whenever we give the meaning, we have to specify the context. Therefore, Pramitaha is equal to Angushta Matra Purushaha occurring in Kathopanishad, second chapter, first section, 13th mantra. So what is the conclusion now? It is Paramatma. The conclusion is, it refers to Paramatma only, not the limited Jivatma. So now put it in our language. We have to take the Angushta Matra Purushaha, not in its Vachyartha. In its literal meaning, not Tvam Pada Vachyartha or Purusha Pada Vachyartha, but should take it as Purusha Pada Lakshyartha, implied meaning only, not the direct meaning. Or to put it in another language, you should not take Abhasa Chaitanya Purushaha, Parantu Sakshi Chaitanya Purushaha. Not the reflected consciousness, Abhasa Chaitanya, but the Sakshi Chaitanyam, original consciousness. So Paramatma Eva Bhavitum Arhati, should be only Paramatma one. And what is the next word? Shabdat Eva. Because of the Upanishadic statement, Upanishad Shabda. Here Shabda means Upanishad statements. What Upanishad statement? Because of the Upanishadic statement, Ishano Bhuta Bhavyasya. Purusha is presented as the Lord of the universe. Here the Angushta Matra Purushaha is mentioned as Jagat Purushaha, Jagat Patihi. So it should refer to Lakshyartha Purushaha only, the Paramatma only. And Eva, Eva gives the emphasis. Because of the very same Upanishadic statement, one need not give any other logic or any other mantra for support. This is the first sutra, word analysis is also over. Now we will see some Purvapakshi, because without Purvapakshi, no sutra is interesting. So if Purushaha refers to Paramatma, how will you explain then Pramitatva? Pramitaha, we said Pramitatva. How are you going to explain the size of the thumb? When Paramatma is very big and he is Sarvagataha, how you say size of the thumb? For this, we just add a word here, Iva. As though one who is seemingly of the size of the thumb, thumb eva, because that the manifestation in the heart. So, aupadika paricchedaha natum vastavika paricchedaha. Limitation is of actually two types. We have seen this also. One is seeming limitation and another is factual limitation. For example, when we say space is limited within a hall, that the limitation is seeming limitation because factually space is not limited. If someone asks, at least space is within pot, is space within the pot is limited. For that, what we say? The space within the pot is wrong expression, and it should be said that space is not within the pot, but pot is within the space. Or pot is within the all-pervading space. And in fact, all the parts are within the space, one all-pervading space only. The earth and the entire galaxy, they are all within space only. Therefore, the space within the part is only a figurative expression. And the limitation born out of figurative expression is also figurative. It is called Aupadhika Parichedaha. Upadhi, Aupadhika Parichedaha, limitation arising out of Upadhi. Whereas the limitation of part is vastavika parichedaka, real limitation. Similarly, when Purusha is said as Angushta Purushaha, Angushta Matra Purushaha, what does Upanishad mean? It means the Purusha, who is seemingly is of the size of the thumb, is nothing but Sarvagata Paramatma only, the all-pervading Chaitanyam. Therefore, even though Paramatma does not have the size of the thumb, it is taken as the size of the thumb for meditation. Dhyanartham Angushta Matratvam Adhyastham Natum Vastavika. So these are the two answers to the first question, namely Aupadika Parichedaha, and second one is Dhyanartham Kalpita Parichedaha. Now the Purvapakshi comes with another question. And he says, elsewhere in the scriptures, Angushta Matra is used for limited Jivatma only. He brings some other portion of the scripture. And then how do you contradict that and take this meaning? And where it is said, the elsewhere is a shloka in Mahabharata, in Satyavan Savitri story. Look at Acharya. Mahabharata is considered to be a Sapadalaksha Grantham. It is supposed to be 125,000 slokas. Acharya, instead of, in addition to all the Upanishads and this, that and all, unless he knows every Itihasa and Puranas in fingertips, how can he relate one with the other? So in the story of Satyavan Savitri, there is a sloka. Atha Satyavadaha Kayat Pashabaddham Vashamgatam Angushtamatram Purusham Nishchakarsha Yamo Balat. That is the sloka. And what is the context here? Yamadharma Raja, he drags the Jivatma Satyavadaha Kayat from the body of Satyavan. So from the body of Satyavan, he is dragging the Jiva out and taking the Jiva to Yamaloka. Pashabaddham Vashangatam, the Jivatma which has been tied with the rope, Pasham, in the Yamadharma Raja's hand, and Vashangatam, and Anguttamatra Matra Purusham, that Jivatma of Satyavan, which is of the size of the thumb. That is what he is dragging. Yamaha Baladim Nishchakarsha. Yamadharma Raja, he dragged strongly Balad. Krish, Nishkrish, Nishkrish Dhatu, Prasantari, all that. So anyway, we don't go to grammar. So it is the dragging, is this dragging possible for the limited Purusha or limitless Purusha? This dragging, is it possible for the limitless Purusha or the limited Purusha? The limitless cannot be dragged, because dragging is possible to take an object from where it is to a place where it is not. When Sarvagata Paramatma, when it is there everywhere, how you can drag it from one place to another place? Paramatma is available everywhere and Paramatma cannot be dragged. So the Purupakshi says, only Parichinna Jivatma alone can be dragged and not Aparichinna Paramatma. Further, what is the answer? All confusion is because the word Jivatma has got Vachyartha and Lakshyartha, direct and implied meanings. So the direct meaning of Jivatma is Chidabhasa Chaitanyam, the reflected consciousness, reflected where? Manasi, in the mind, Antakarana Pratibimbita Chaitanyam, the consciousness. So the implied meaning of Jivatma or Angushta Matra Purusha is the very Chit, the original consciousness, which pervades everywhere and which pervades the Chidabhasa also. And in fact, the very existence, the Satta of Chidabhasa is lent by Chit alone. So Chidabhasa being Mithya, so Mithya Chidabhasasya Adhishtanatvena Sakshi Chaitanyam Bimba Chaitanyam Sarvagata Chaitanyam Vartate. Therefore, that Chit, the Adhishtana, which is the original consciousness, that is the Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the Angushta Matra Purushaha. And now, where do you take Vachyartha, Abhasa Chaitanyam, and where do you take the Lakshyartha, the Sakshi Chaitanyam? It is according to the context. Whenever we talk of traveling Jivatma from place to place, for example, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said in so many shlokas, 15th chapter, Mamaivam sho jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatanaha, manas shrattani indriyani, prakritisthani karshati, shariram yadava pnoti, yachapyutkramati ishwaraha, grihitvaitani sanyati, vayurgandani vashayat, utkramantam stitam vapi, bhunjanam vabhunanvitam, vimudhananu pashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshushaha. Whenever we talk of traveling Jivatma, it refers to what? Vachyartha, literal meaning, Abhasa Chaitanyam Jivatma. And whenever we talk of the non-traveling eternal Adhishtanam of the entire creation, the substratum of the entire creation, then the very same Jivatma refers to Lakshyartham Adhishtana Chaitanyam, Kutastha Chaitanyam, Sakshi Chaitanyam, Bimba Chaitanyam, original consciousness. All are synonymous. Therefore, in the Satyavan story, Jivatma is equal to Abhasa Chaitanyam. In the Katopanishad mantra, Purushaha is Lakshyartha Chaitanyam, Paramatma Eva. And when we take Angushta Matra word applied to Abhasa Chaitanyam, the Angushta Matratvam is Vastavikam. Paricheda, limitation, is factual with respect to Vachyartha Jivatma in the Mahabharata story, Satyavan Savitri story. But when you take Lakshyartha Jivatma, Paricheda, limitation is seeming limitation, The limitation is seeming limitation. Here there is no confusion at all. Therefore, the whole problem is the word Jivatma should be taken according to the context. Jivatma and Paramatma Aikyam is not possible if Jivatma refers to Abhasa Chaitanyam, reflected consciousness. We should take Adhishtana Chaitanyam, and this Jivatma Adhishtana Chaitanyam is Jivatma Lakshyartha and Prapancha Adhishtana Chaitanyam Brahma. Both are identical. This is called Mahavakya, Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam. Then where is the problem? Shankaracharya asks. Therefore, Angushta Matraha Iva Purushaha Madhye Atmani Tishtati Saha Lakshyartha Ishano Bhuta Bhavyasya. That is how that shloka is interpreted. With this, all the Purva Pakshas are also answered. Now let us go to the next sutra in the next class. So Veda Dausvara Prokto Vedante Chapratishtitaha Tasya Prakutilinasya Parasamaheshwaraha Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ओम शांति शांति शांति।